Welcome in to 11 Personnel live from the Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, where I am in a hotel bar and Luckett is in our hotel room, and we are getting ready to hang out with our good pals Mark Stoops and Kirk Ferentz. Luckett, I know you're excited to hear what Kirk has to say today.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a heck of a coach speak press conference here. Nick, the other team plays hard. We play hard.
Real discipline.
Fast, physical football game.
Yeah. Which?
Respect the way Iowa plays. Respect the way Kentucky plays. Yeah, so that's what we're going to get at the Gaylord.
The game is, there was part of me, or the last time we spoke on a podcast, Monday night or Tuesday night, I don't know, the days are kind of running together. But on the football podcast, I was like, you know, maybe this could be a fun little shootout. Maybe there could be some defensive touchdowns, or the one bit of coach speak that I'm going from Mark Stoops this week is they're going to play close to the vest. And I think we're going to see more Destin Wade rushing attempts than passing attempts. There might be some fun stuff in the script, but Luckett, I can't see them deviating too much from a traditional kind of let's run it down your throat approach.
I think what you're alluding to there is talking to him this week. He said he's spending more time over there, making sure we're doing what we can do.
Yes, that's the word. when people, they do not want Mark Stoops, they do not want his fingers all over the offense. Typically, he pushes back on that, right? He's like, I'm too busy to be dealing with those offensive guys. What are you talking about? I'm not handcuffing the offensive coordinator. This week, he's like, yeah, I'm a part of the game plan. So,
I think, like Nick, I think both sides are in the same boat here, where I think you can maybe get some creative stuff early. If it doesn't work, both head coaches are going to be like, all right, hit the brakes here. Let's play defense. Let's run the ball. Let's see if that other quarterback makes the big mistake first so we don't have to push it.
Yes.
Iowa plays like that. I mean, they're very used to winning games, 13-10, like that. I mean, like the Nebraska game got away from them because Nebraska was able to hit explosive plays. And for me, Nick, like that's really Kentucky's chance in this game.
Yeah.
I think Iowa's got the better defense. I think they've got the better kicking game. Quarterback is a wash as we know it right now. We just don't know what we're getting from either party. And they've got the better tailback and better tailback situation with Caleb Johnson, who's averaging over 100 yards a game, right at 6 yards per carry in the last five games for Iowa.
That's good.
So, like, they just have more known commodities, I think, going into this game. Their stars are playing. Only one guy's opted out. Jack Campbell, who's a superstar linebacker, is playing. Riley Moss, super senior. He's going to get drafted. He's playing. Sam Laporta, who's going to be one of the top tight ends in the NFL draft this year, he's playing. Like, their guys are playing in this game. So, for Kentucky, like, I think for them to win it, they have to create explosives. That could be with Destin Wade running around making something happen or getting the ball to Barrion Brown, Dane Key, in space and creating big chunk plays in a pass game. If they can't do that, it's going to be hard, very hard for them to win, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this is not the kind of defense, too, that is going to give Destin Wade a ton of those opportunities. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of breakdowns, right? Like you aren't going up against Louisville or, you know, insert your traditional – ACC opponent that we often see in these games, right, where they can have some defensive breakdowns, pocket collapses, he's able to squirt free and get, like, this is a disciplined bunch. Like, the strength is in what they do, and they do it well, and they've got two awesome linebackers in Benson and Jack Campbell, who, I mean, they're combined for more than 200 tackles this year. Campbell's an All-American, best linebacker in the country.
Yeah, so, I think it's from a game, and I think Stoops was alluding to, you have to recognize that with this team you're playing with Iowa. Zone-heavy defense, four down front. Mostly do a good job of keeping things in front, but they do play some, like, more press quarters coverage so they can get on top of people in the pass game. But they're just really good at what they do. They're extremely well-coached. They're as good as any defense in college football at just executing the assignment and knowing, like, the weaknesses of their defense. They're just really, they play really, really smart. They don't miss tackles. They get you, like, you're in second and eight, third and seven a lot against this group, and it just makes life difficult. But for Kentucky, you have a pretty good defense, too. And you've got you can make the case Iowa was the worst offense in Power Five football this year. Mm-hmm. They don't like. There's no weapons out there at receiver for Iowa. I mean, it's really Laporta, and that's it. Laporta 2 and 84. Sam Laporta at tight end, number 84, and Caleb Johnson, number 2 at tailback. Those are the two guys you got to slow down. If you're able to slow those guys down, it's going to be very, very hard for Iowa to score. And then it becomes like a field position turnover type game, right? If whoever Kentucky could be up against it, because Torrey Taylor, Iowa's punter, is elite. Their kicker is 16 of 18 this year. His two misses were from 40-plus yards. So he's been really dependable. And we've seen, you know, Kentucky's been very up or down. But I do think Wilson Berry's been pretty good at punter since he's come in and taken over. Another Australian. So that'll be – you could very much see – I think it's very important for Kentucky. You want to be aggressive early, but you cannot be afraid to settle in and get into, a fist fight.
Field possession game.
And, staying within one possession is not the worst thing. You know, just hanging around, and then if you can go make a play – because it may come down to who can make more plays between Joey Labus, Iowa starter, and Destin Wade, Kentucky starter. And so we'll just have to see how that works out.
Yeah, and even though Wade is wet behind the ears, he does not have any in-game college experience, just a true freshman, he does have some weapons that can create big plays. So even if it's I know it's a daunting defense, but like even if it's just a tunnel screen, you know, to Barry on Brown, or you can at least see a scenario, see a world where those guys can get loose and bust a big play. What I don't want to happen, Barrion has really enjoyed his homecoming. They've put him front and center. He was walking down Broadway the other day in the uniform. That's how they kind of rolled out. The Kentucky's going to be wearing all blue. It's been very cool. Then they had the party at the Wild Horse. He was up there dancing like a fool, having a good time. So I just hope that he had that big game against Ole Miss. And then the following week, Will Levis was out. They tried to get him the ball early and often, and it felt like he was doing too much. I just don't let the game come to you, Barry. I know this is a big moment, and we all want to see you star, but I don't want the field flipping stuff that can turn into a negative 20-yard play. And there's your field position flip, right? You don't need that.
You want the Barry and Brown from the Georgia Louisville game. He just kind of didn't feel like he was trying to do too much, but they were force feeding him, and he was making plays. He was beating good defenses in coverage and making catches, good tough catches. That's the Barry and Brown you want to see. You don't want to see him trying to do too much, like the South Carolina where he went back and forth, and you don't want to see that. You just got to play within the offense. And that's for Destin Wade, you have to worry about that too. First start at home, he's probably got a lot of people on his ear.
Yeah. At least
he knows the guy's coming, right, that's coming in the start next year. Mm-hmm. And so this is really, I think he's probably looking at it as a huge opportunity for him.
Right, right.
If he goes out and plays well against a good Iowa defense, then he's really got a case to be a true number two quarterback and potentially Kentucky starter, in his mind, I'm thinking, in 2024.
Yeah.
When he's a redshirt sophomore.
Correct.
And so this is a big opportunity, I think, for him if he can go out and get some things done. So it's a lot at stake in that regard, I would say. But,
The one good thing, though, with the Wades is that – their mentality isn't they don't strike me as kids that would ever get too big headed. They're very kind of soft spoken, matter of fact, straightforward workers. I can't see the moment being too big. But what I do legitimately worry about is he going to, how much help is he actually going to get in the running game? Because here's the thing. They got some big boys over there. I think, as you put it, they got a bunch of dudes who look like they hang out at Roosters.
Yes.
They got some big SOBs.
Might as well be the Fern Creek Hawkeyes.
And Kentucky doesn't have a guy that's just going to erase mistakes. Because that's what Chris Rodriguez, he erased mistakes for this offensive line. And it might be a little different if they're getting in more inside zone stuff and instead of what they did throughout most of the season. But Jatom McClain is I think he played well in November. Like I thought he really started to have some explosive runs there at the end of the season. I think he was averaging something like 6 yards a carry.
It's just the efficiency with Jatom.
Yes.
He runs hard. He creates some explosives, but there's a lot of 1 and 0 yard runs, which are not all his fault because the lines of yards before contact have not been a good number for Kentucky.
No.
The line has struggled in that regard. So, yeah, you worry about that. But, like,
and then Lavelle Wright, the other guy that we're going to see, we've only seen a very small sample size.
Haven't seen him in, like, you know, 2-3 months since October, probably.
It was when Chris was out. And when we saw him, he it wasn't working very well. Mm-hmm. It was a little underwhelming, left you wanting a lot more. So he looks like a guy that can rip through some tackles, but we just haven't seen it. I mean, he looks the part. We watched him leaving the field the other day, and it's just like, sheesh, Luis. But it hasn't been there yet. So you're asking a lot from a running game that you just haven't seen much from when it's not Chris Rodriguez just carrying dudes.
Yeah, and I do think it's important to recognize with Wade, Mr. Football Winner, Class 6A, largest classification in the state of Tennessee, rushed for 2,308 yards and 30 touchdowns as a senior.
I mean, those numbers are nuts.
And then he passed for a little over 1,400 yards and 18 touchdowns. I mean, in many ways, he was a run-first quarterback in high school. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a run-first quarterback on Saturday afternoon at Nissan Stadium. And if he can give Kentucky, and that can really help in this game because the old rushing yards battle could be the difference. And if you look at
the Mark Stoops favorite stat.
You look at Iowa's schedule, Nick, they have not played a dual threat quarterback. Not one. I mean, it's been all traditional drop back passers that they've played. And in the Big Ten, there's a lot of guys who aren't moving very well, who are just standing in there in the pocket.
Yep. And Tanner Morgan, Aiden O'Connell, the Illinois guy, like just statues.
It's going to be a different situation. I think Iowa will probably be able to adjust as the game goes on, but it could be like you may be able to catch them early, which could be huge in the game. So that's something to watch out for. And like you're alluding to, like it's going to be a run-heavy approach, I think, here. And then they're probably going to try to do some creative stuff in the passing game. Maybe like throwback screens. I think you could see a couple gadget plays here.
Yeah.
And then so we'll see how it all shakes out.
I'm
tough game to not have Josh Caddis. They care to really use that blocking aspect that he brings.
Yeah.
They're on the edge, especially with the QB run element.
I mean, Caddis and Bates, arguably two of your top end line blockers. I do, like, when you mentioned Wade's stats, the other part that's, I think, good for fans and good for Kentucky, it's going to be good to actually see him in a setting like, because with a running quarterback, you just don't know how good he is in practice. You're not tackling him. So, like,
yeah,
how can he break tackles? How good is he at getting away from guys? Is he smart enough to throw the ball away? Those are the kind of things that can really only be tested in a game. Ideally, it would not be against this defense. That's, you know, top five in efficiency in the country. I couldn't find the latest SP Plus. I saw him at second at one point. But either way.
I'll pull it up for you. Just give me a second here.
Oh, got to get the charts out.
They're number two defense.
Number two. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. One thing I'm curious to see, too, is the field going to fall apart like half of these other bowl game fields?
Well, the Titans and Cowboys did a number on it on a rainy Thursday night in Nashville. That field is already, as we should know this back when, like, Kroger Field, Commonwealth Stadium was grass, it would get pretty chewed up by the end of the year. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the same is the case here in Nashville. I mean, that grass gets pretty chewed up. I mean, it gets, after Thanksgiving, it gets close to toast.
Yeah.
It looked pretty cooked on Thursday night, and I think it's going to be pretty cooked here, which will be the final game because the Titans are at the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Next week. And, well, I guess if they won the game, they would have a playoff game. But
I mean, with Josh Dobbs at quarterback?
Never say never.
he wasn't bad last night. We were out and about on the town, hopping from place to place, watching the ball games.
A lot of Cowboys fans down here in a good
lot of Cowboys.
I mean, I've seen a lot more Iowa fans.
Right, right. Which I think you would expect, just because, I mean, when do they go to Nashville? Kentucky fans, that I have a feeling if you were going to get Kentucky fans, they would come down Friday, stay the night, maybe leave, or Friday, Saturday, do one of those. Or just, you know, if you're in Western Kentucky, just a quick trip for a day. I mean,
or if you could get a hotel on New Year's Eve, it's so expensive, just staying for one night, getting here, mm-hmm. going to the game, checking in a hotel, and then doing whatever you like to do on New Year's Eve. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge Kentucky crowd. I don't think there's – number one, there's the duo basketball game. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's Nashville on New Year's Eve. I think, you know, people talk about how Nashville is a favorite, the nation's favorite city, but I do think there's a little bit of fatigue because we go there all the time.
Yes.
I mean, you're there every other year for a college football game. Like, Kentucky's playing Vanderbilt down there. SEC tournaments down there a bunch. We haven't had it there in a little bit. But it's not like Kentucky never goes to Nashville. This is the sixth time they've played in this bowl game.
Right.
And so, and then the opponent, like, it doesn't – I think if Kentucky is playing, like, Wisconsin, I think there's more buzz from their aspect for this game. But they're playing Iowa again, and we've done all that, right?
I mean, we can't even write the Mark Stoops stories anymore.
Right. I mean, we know who Iowa is. It's just a little – it's weird. In Iowa, like, this is the closest bowl game for them, like, for the Big Ten tie-ins is Nashville. So I think there's some buzz for that, and there's not the head-to-head. You know, they're not playing Iowa State in basketball.
Yeah.
On Saturday afternoon.
Man, their basketball team stinks, though. Well, they got crushed by Nebraska.
We know how it feels right now.
Fair enough. Just the uniqueness of it too. Like that is part of the bowl games that makes it fun, is just playing somebody different that you don't normally do. That the meeting against Iowa last year was the first time the two programs had ever met.
And going to these games, like, it's fun to kind of like learn about these other fan bases,
mm-hmm.
how they act culturally, learning their cheers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we got to do that last year. Now you don't get to do that.
And now
that stinks. For me, going to a lot of bowl games over the years, that was kind of the more interesting part, I would say. And going somewhere different, it's just we've been to Nashville so much. I just think it just is what it is. And Kentucky didn't have a great season, right? It's not like if they were 9-3 instead of 7-5, even if they were in the same bowl game, people would be
more excited. Yeah.
And then Kentucky's opt-outs, too. I mean, that doesn't help the situation. You got the best players opting out. Yep. Everybody, like, Iowa and Kentucky are very similar, and I've mentioned this already. Like, they have both kind of moved on to next year. Cade McNamara at Iowa, Devin Leary at Kentucky. We got our guy. Let's roll. You know, let's put this year behind us. We figured it out. We won games. We got to a bowl game. We didn't let it, on both sides, totally crater for us. But we need to – let's move on, and, like, we think we might have something here, and let's keep this momentum going, after step-back years. But first, they've got to play a game against each other, you know. And that just makes this an interesting type of game to me.
A little unusual. We saw Spencer Petras down here. He's got his arm in a sling. He tore his rotator cuff and his labrum, so mm-hmm. his shoulders beat to hell. But he's coming back. So –
yeah, that very much seems like he really likes it. Iowa. And he probably gets to go be a backup quarterback next year.
He did a Blue Mountain State deal.
That's a kid who's had a lot of pressure on him, Nick. Like, he's not been the most popular player. Mm-hmm. He's gotten booed by his own fans. He's had to play for, you know, not a very good offensive coordinator. They haven't had hardly any weapons at receiver. And now he can help McNamara with his transition. He's probably wanting to get into coaching, I would imagine. Maybe that's the move. Stay there and
Warren under Brian Ferentz.
Or the new OC, whoever that might be there in Iowa City.
Yeah, Brian Ferentz. OC for life.
You don't see that, but Iowa kind of, you know. There was a stuff with Doyle that they thought, like, the culture might get wrecked. But it doesn't seem like it has. It seems like that, like, they have a type of player they recruit in the Midwest. They get them, and they just it just fits there for them, and it works. And it's won a lot of football games, and I don't think that's going to stop. They're still going to win. They're still going to figure it out. Hell, they've won with about as bad as you can get on offense. They just figure it out, and they find pros on defense. Like, they find three stars. They find walk-ons. They develop them in the pros. Like, Riley Moss was a walk-on. He's going to get drafted. Jack Campbell was just a mid-3-star recruit from Cedar Falls, Iowa, and he's going to be – he just won the Lombardi. Sam LaPorta was a low 3-star tight end from the Chicago suburbs, and he's going to be one of the first tight ends drafted. I mean, they just find good football players there in the Midwest, and they run a system that fits to them, and they kind of fit in, I guess, that Iowa blue-collar toughness culture.
That's the way they roll. You mentioned LaPorta. Have we mentioned? I don't think we've mentioned anywhere that he's their backup quarterback for this game.
Yeah, and he's also like this. Also links to just like buy-in and maybe effort level and wanting to win this game. Like LaPorta tore his meniscus, Nick, in the last game of the year. He had his knee scoped, and he's playing in this game. Like, he's going to be preparing for the draft here after this game, but he's going and playing. Well, I guess he could come back, but I would assume he would go pro because he's going to be top 100 pick. But, like, he's playing. Like, that's just
– yeah.
That's kind of Iowa's mindset going into this game. Their dudes are playing.
And they – the other aspect that we haven't mentioned that Kentucky has reminded them of, Iowa's probably got a taste for revenge.
Yeah.
They lost – they had victory slip through their fingers last year where, I mean, Iowa really took control of that ball game in the third quarter, down by 10, and was it 10 or 13? Either way.
It was 13-3 at half.
That sounds right, 13-3 at half. But they probably feel like they let that game slip away, and they were the better team. Now they get a chance at revenge, and, yes, it's different. The players are different. Kentucky's best aren't playing, but they're still going to want to go out there and win that ball game. And I'm worried that that non-conference winning streak got started after a trip to Music City. I'm worried that another trip to Music City might end it.
Yeah, I'm very much like I don't know if we're gonna do our little prediction column, but I'll probably pick Iowa. I just think it just lines up for them in this game. I think the one saving grace, what if Labus just stinks, right?
Yeah.
What if he's just terrible? Which I don't think.
But I mean, that they've won with their quarterback playing just terrible, you know?
Right. They figured out a way. And if they have to, they'll just run it a bunch. One big concern for me, Nick, like Kentucky couldn't stop the run the last 3 weeks of the year. Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Louisville all had success running the football.
Yeah.
And Kentucky was awesome stopping the run against Missouri, and it just disappeared. Like that has to come back. They have to stop the run. If Caleb Johnson goes out here and runs for 145 on 25 carries, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're just not, it's going to be tough. Iowa's going to have control of the game. They're probably going to get a lot of at least field goal opportunities for a good kicker. And Kentucky's probably going to be playing from behind, and they're going to have to throw more than they probably want to. So that's an important part of this aspect. Because I know Iowa can stop the run. They've shown it. But can Kentucky? The last three games was not good against the run. And that has to get better. Because pass defense, really not a big deal here. Because they don't, like we talked about, the receivers for Iowa are in pretty rough shape. LaPorta's good, but he's a tight end. You know, he's not going to create a bunch of explosives. And you can kind of key in on him. But you got to stop the run. You know, you got to stop number two. And so can they do that? They haven't been able to do it the last couple of games. So that is a concern for me going into this.
I know what can help get those concerns to go away, Adam Luckett. A little bit of something from our friends at Port Royal Plants, all organic, natural CBD, made right here. No, not here. We're in Tennessee. Made in the bluegrass. Made in Kentucky. PortRoyalPlants.com. Full spectrum CBD. They got all the products. Check them out. Today, big shout out to Port Royal Plants for sponsoring 11 personnel. Look it, we've had a decent time out here in Nashville. I will warn Kentucky fans, if you're coming down here, the usual watering hole has become the official Iowa bar. The Tin Roof on Broadway is it's all Iowa. They were playing the men's basketball game, the women's basketball game. They got a Hawkeye on the Bud Light tap. Iowa fans everywhere. Apparently the owner's an Iowa grad. So they're doing, it's like they got Matt Jones. They're Matt Jones coming down there and doing pregame and postgame shows. So if you're playing in the typical routine, I'm afraid you're going to run into a Tiger Hawk buzzsaw because it's all black and yellow there at the Tin Roof on Broadway.
Yeah, I think Iowa's going to have a pretty good crowd down here. I mean, the early turns, there was a good chunk, and then a lot of people are going to come in today. Like, if you're doing the bowl trip, it's probably two nights, right?
Yep.
Come in the 30th, stay 31st, go home on the 1st. So what does that look like? I think a lot of Iowa fans are going to roll in. I'll be interested to see. Because Kentucky is going to be a more late-arriving crowd. I think there will be a lot of people just drive down for the game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a strong Iowa presence here.
Let's check the forecast, too, because there for a while they were calling for AM showers. And right now it's looking like let's see here. We can get hourly forecast now. That's the beauty of doing it so close to it. And 60% chance of rain in the morning. That kind of dips off, but it's probably going to be a wet one. So hold on that football, Destin Wade. Hold on to that football.
And wet one with, a grass field that just had a wet game, right?
Yeah.
The footing's not going to be great, I don't think, out there on Saturday afternoon.
Nope. But it has been great hanging out here in Nashville for a few days, getting to see the sights. Even though we've done it before, like never a bad time. Those hot dogs on Broadway are still outstanding.
$9 beers in some places.
Man, that was
cheapest. That was $7. I think the cheapest we found was $6.
Yeah, $6 was your cheapest beer. We did get a happy hour where they were only $4. At the Assembly Food Hall, which that place is cool. That's newer. That place is pretty awesome. But yeah, best of luck, everybody. You're gonna need it.
Take out a loan.
Yep,
you'll be fine.
But we're gonna cut this one a little bit shorter than normal. We'll obviously be back here on the KSR YouTube page Saturday after the game for rapid reactions. We're at football rapid reactions, basketball rapid reaction. A busy. Couple of days for the Big Blue Nation. We appreciate you joining us for all of it. He's Adam Luckett. I'm Nick Roush. This is Kentucky. No, not Kentucky Roll Call. 11 Personnel.